Well, it's so wonderful to have you all with us. I'm not going to say this morning because some of you might be there this afternoon or tomorrow. Invite your friends to get on YouTube and look at our programs. My name is Ron. I'm one of the members of Cascade, and it's my privilege to share from God's holy word this morning. We have been enjoying, and I use the word enjoying, this series on famous last words. Have you enjoyed it? I hope so. I've enjoyed it at home as I sat there with my coffee. Whoops! I don't know if you're allowed to drink coffee in the church meeting, but I'd be at home drinking my coffee and just enjoying Pastor Alex preach on these different series. Well, on February the 28th, we touched on Luke chapter 23:32-34, Father, forgive them. Challenging. And then on March the 7th, we studied Luke chapter 23:32-39-43. On today, you will be with me in paradise. And then last week, did you enjoy it? That was exciting when Jesus said, my God, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And today, we're going to be talking about Luke chapter 19, verses 28 and 29, just two verses, and I hope that you'll enjoy it. Let's just go over these very quickly. First, we studied, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Then, the second week, we studied, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And perhaps the most famous of all the Lord's last words was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And today, we're going to be talking about Luke chapter 19, verse 28. And it says, later, knowing that everything had been finished, and so the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I thirst. Next week, we're going to be listening to Pastor Alex talking about Luke chapter 23, verse 46. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed his last breath. And then, God willing, we're going to be taking the last of the series where Jesus says, It is finished. Wow. That's going to be an exciting one also. The work on the cross was finished. Today we're going to be talking about I thirst. Now it's some of the translations render that I am thirsty. But the original word in the Greek, and I'm not going to dazzle you with my vast knowledge of Greek, but it's only one word, and it certainly is interesting. Now, let's get into the situation. You ready to come with me? We're going to get into the situation. It's going to be a hot day there in Jerusalem. We're all in Jerusalem. Sit back, relax, close your eyes, and try to put yourself into this picture. There you are in Jerusalem. You could tell it's early in the morning. It was not yet quite 9 o'clock, and already the temperature was pushing 80 degrees. Here and there, the city merchants were setting up their shop, they're setting up their kioscos, setting up their stalls to make ready for a busy day. Now, why was it a busy day? Because it was the opening, the beginning of Passover. Hundreds, thousands of people were in Jerusalem for this great feast. Lots of things were going on. Lots of talk in the city. Outside of the city walls, they were making ready for another round of crucifixions. Yes? Three this time. Two criminals and one fellow named Jesus of Nazareth. The sun was beating down on their heads as the soldiers dug the holes in the ground and made ready with the stakes, with the hammer, and with the nails. The ropes were ready. At last, out came the crowd from the city. The two criminals and this man named Jesus. 9 o'clock came. Crucifixion time, hammers and nails. The heat was beating down, the stench and the smell of death, the talking, the laughter. Here he is, the King of the Jews. 12 o'clock, darkness, confusion, the sound of panic, people shouting, then silence. Thick, oppressed silence upon the land. 3 hours passed, an eternity of darkness. Are you with me there in Jerusalem? Let's just leave that just for a second, and we're going to come back. But it's very interesting that our Lord's first three statements were centered on others. His enemies, the thief, and John and Mary. But these last three statements, and we're going to touch on the first one presently, the last three statements from the cross were focused on himself. First, his body. I thirst, John chapter 19, 28. Then his soul, it is finished, verse 30. It also refers in Isaiah 53 and 10. And his spirit, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, Luke chapter 23, 46. Body, soul, and spirit. All were offered by the Lord Jesus Christ in the obedience to the Father for you and for me. For you and for me. Let's get back to where we are now. Suddenly the light shines after this time of darkness. There in the center was Jesus. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, clearly about to die. Every breath made a huge effort, fighting for oxygen, resting upon the nails while he inhaled, sweat pouring off of him. This was for you, and this was for me. The experienced soldiers had heard it before, the death rattle. With one last gasp, a sound came out. They could hardly hear it. You couldn't hear it if you were 2 or 3 feet away. More like a moan. It was one Greek word, diposio, I thirst. The soldiers got the bowl, a pail that they always carried with them. It was full of vinegar. It was a vinegar wine mixed with water. It was the cheapest drink. It was the drink of the common man. It was the drink of the Roman soldiers. Whenever the soldiers went out to do their work, they carried it with them. It was like a canteen that we would carry water with. Yes, pain. It is not often appreciated that our Lord Jesus Christ died in terrible, terrible pain for you and I. If you run the clock back from 3 o'clock in the afternoon and the moment of his death back to 3 o'clock in the morning and just see what happened to Jesus as he moved through the hours, what you'll discover is that our Lord Jesus Christ had been through 12 hours, 12 whole hours of torture, arrested in the middle of the night, slapped around, crowned with thorns. They beat him. They made him carry the cross. They nailed his hands and his feet. Not 1 second did he have a moment of rest. Not one person offered him anything. It is not too much to say that when Jesus hung on the cross, he was not that beautiful, manicured Savior we often see in the artist's rendering. He must have been, excuse the expression, a mess. No wonder he was thirsty. Lost of blood, exposure, heat, exhaustion, dehydration. He had no water. He was dehydrated. Do you know what it's like to be dehydrated? I studied it for this little sermonette that we're having right now. And it's very interesting. First, you get a fever. Then you get a throbbing pain in your head. And then you cramps in your abdomen. And then nausea sets in. And then your lips become dry. Then your tongue swells up and becomes thick. In the end, you can barely whisper. It doesn't sound like a man's voice. It sounds like an animal croaking. No wonder Jesus was thirsty. No wonder he said, "I thirst." But you know, the Apostle John links Jesus' statement, "I thirst," to the fulfillment of Scripture. That's why he said it, so the Scriptures would be fulfilled. There was, in fact, at least 20 Old Testament prophecies fulfilled during the 24 hours surrounding the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. By highlighting this in the Old Testament, Jesus has to say, "I thirst," because he was fulfilling what Scripture said. Do you know, the Bible is so true. The Bible is so exact. During the whole life of Christ, 332 distinct prophecies were completed. And just in this time of the crucifixion, in the 24 hours, we find that all of the 20 prophecies were fulfilled. Yes, I thirst. The Lord asked for a drink so that he might clearly and powerfully declare his final statement, which we're going to hear about in 2 weeks. And that's, "It is finished." That's why he did it. He did it for the two reasons. One, he wanted to be able to say this with authority, with volume. "It is finished." But he also wanted to fulfill Scripture. But you know, it's very interesting that earlier, Jesus refused a drink of vinegar, gall, and myrrh offered to him to relieve his suffering. We find that in Matthew chapter 27, 34, and Mark chapter 15, 23. After that, the soldiers mocking offered him wine vinegar, but he didn't drink it. Why didn't he take the first drink offered to him? Do you know why? Because it was an alcoholic, special, powerful drink to numb his suffering. And Jesus wanted to do exactly what his father, wanted him to do. Because Jesus says, "I come to do the will of my Father." And he was going to go to suffer on the cross for you and I. He went all the way. You know, in Psalm 69, 21 said, "They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst." But he refused it. He refused it. You know, both Matthew and Mark observes that he was offered this bitter wine just prior to the crucifixion. Perhaps, as I said, this was to intoxicate him, to lessen his suffering. It was from a group of Jerusalem women as an act of pity. But no, Jesus refused it. He had committed himself to the Father to offer himself as a sacrifice for you and for me, desiring to face his hour of suffering, death, with a clear head, to attempt to lessen the pain of his suffering would somehow have been going back on his commitment. Jesus Christ went all the way to the cross and all the suffering for your sins and my sins. Jesus accepted the second drink to accomplish prophecy, and it wasn't the same drink. We must remember that. Because Jesus had to have his lips moistened, his throat clear, as we're going to hear in 2 weeks. Yes, our blessed Lord was 100% divine, and he was also 100% human. That's hard to understand. But he suffered. Because he walked upon this earth as a man, though he knew no sin, he did become and acquainted with the difficulties that you and I suffer. He knew what suffering was. When he was a child, he probably skinned his knees at times or two. As a teenager, it's likely that he knew what it was to not to be in the in-group. Later, as a carpenter, he learned the carpenter trade, just like Ian McDougall did and is a carpenter. He learned the same trade. And I'm sure he had some splinters in his fingers. I'm sure he hit his finger with a hammer. That was as a man. He knew what it was to grow tired, to be cold, to sweat, to hunger. And of course, he knew what it was to be thirsty. But dear friends, we're here this morning, and you might be looking at it in this afternoon or tomorrow, because I want to talk to you the combination between spiritual and physical thirst. Here we're referring to his physical thirst. He wanted that water. Oh, he would have loved to have that water. He thirsted for you and for me. But in spite of the reality and the intensity and the significance of Jesus' physical thirst, I am convinced that something deeper is expressed by these words. The words, I thirst. Underlying his physical thirst is another kind of thirst that Jesus experienced even a deeper, more profound way on the cross. And that's spiritual thirst. And that's why we're here at Cascades Church, to help you in your spiritual life, also physical life too. But more important than the physical life is your spiritual life. Have you got a thirst for God? And if you have a thirst for God, where are you looking for it? How are you think you're going to find it? The evidence that leads me to be this so convinced comes from the verb thirst in the Bible. The verb thirst in John chapter 19. All five contexts refer to spiritual thirst. Let's look at it. John 4:13. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will thirst again." Verse 14, "But whosoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst indeed. And the water I give them will become in them a spring of living welling up to eternal life." And in John 4:15, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not get thirsty and have to come to draw water." Jesus is referring here to spiritual thirst. And Jesus wanted this woman, and he wants you and I to receive this living water. Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. We're all thirsty. We all have thirst today. And in John chapter 7:34, on the last and the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within." Jesus declared, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from them." And John helps us understand what Jesus means by adding this next verse. "By this, Jesus meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive." When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives you a wonderful gift. He gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. The question is not, do you thirst? Because all mankind has a thirst for reality. We all have a thirst for fulfillment. We all have a thirst for satisfaction. We all have a thirst for forgiveness. Yes, and we have a thirst for God. You look in history, all the different nations and tribes and all over the world, the real question is, how long are you going to be thirsty? And that's why I'm here this morning. That's why Cascades Church exists. How long are you going to be thirsty? You can continue as you are and end up thirsty for eternity. Or you can trust Jesus as your Savior and never thirst again. What a wonderful truth from Scripture. Yes, thirst. Hanging on the cross, Jesus suffered bitter agony and darkness while covering our guilt, our sin, and our shame. Jesus took your sin, your guilt, your shame on himself. He who knew no sin became sin for you and me so that we wouldn't thirst anymore. But we have to accept him. When the act of purchasing our redemption was completed, that's when he yelled, "It is finished." He wasn't finished. It was the beginning, and it can be the beginning for you and I. It's not finished. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can start a new life. You be born again, and you become a part of the family of God. All that God had purposed and all the prophecies had foretold were completed, and Jesus surrendered himself to death. John chapter 10, 18 says, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up." From the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we learn that as Jesus died, he cried out with a loud voice. It says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last breath. Yes, Jesus says, "I thirst." Jesus says, "I thirst so you would not be thirsty." I am not thirsty in a sense of looking for a way to attain God, because I have attained God through Jesus. Jesus says, "I am the one mediator between the man and Christ Jesus. For there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Yes, Jesus said, "I thirst" from the cross because he wanted his lips and throat moistened to utter one final victory shout before he died. The death of Jesus finished his work of redemption, atonement, and reconciliation. I know those are big words. I didn't understand them when I accepted Jesus 63 years ago, but I understand them today, and you will understand them too. The thing important that you must understand this morning, that Jesus can quench your thirst. Though Christ substituted himself, he was the sacrifice. He sacrificed. He was the Lamb of God who paid our debt and took away our sins. Our ransom completed. Jesus, with a resounding voice, wanted all people to hear those words. Words will still ring strong today. "It is finished." You know, Jesus is the sympathetic Savior. Jesus is the scriptural Savior. Jesus is the satisfying Savior. Jesus was thirsty, to be sure, because of the physical agony he was experiencing. But I would remind you that he had just come through those 3 hours of darkness during which he had the sins of the world poured upon him. He had just finished paying the price for your sins and my sins through a spiritual, physical suffering. During those 3 hours, he was abandoned by the Father and thus experienced hell for, I know you don't like me to use that word, but it's a biblical word. It's in the Word of God. Let me read that to you again. During those 3 hours, he was abandoned by the Father and thus experienced hell for us so that we wouldn't have to go there. In closing, I'd just like to leave you with one quick story, because I know A lot of people don't believe it. But here's what the scripture says. Hell is a place of thirst. In Luke chapter 16, our blessed Lord told about the story of a man who died and woke up in torment. It says that, in torment. In torment, he begged someone to dip their finger in the cold water and put it on his tongue. Because he says, I am in agony in this flame. Luke chapter 16, 24. People who are in hell are saying, I thirst. Hell, you see, is a place of eternal thirst. Those who are condemned to suffer, there are eternity, forever thirsty. But you know something? I'm here to tell you. We're all here to tell you. We're here to sing to you. We're here to talk to you. We're here to try to encourage you to trust in Jesus. Why? Because in Revelation 7:16 says, there's no thirst in heaven. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. In fact, Romans 22:17 says, and this is the last invitation in the Bible, inviting us who thirst to come and take of the water of life freely. Psalm 34:8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Come, dear friend, come to the fountain that never runs dry. Jesus is there saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus thirsts so that we wouldn't have to thirst. God bless you, and I'm just going to say a quick word of prayer, and then we'll turn it over to our worship team. Heavenly Father, God Almighty, we thank you that we who have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior will never thirst again. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Lord that died on the cross so that we wouldn't have to thirst to be thirsty. We ask this, that each and every one that's listening to this message might turn their lives over to you and say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. I want to accept Jesus. We ask this in his name. Amen.